that we have the privilege of coming to you. Thank you that you are a good God. Thank you that we can trust you. And Lord, we do want to trust you, even in the hard times, especially in the hard times. Lord, I pray for Larry. I pray for Esther and the family. Lord, I just pray that you would be a balm to them today. Lord, I pray your mercy. I pray that your presence would be near and be felt and be realized this morning. I pray that you give grace and strength where it's needed. I just pray that you be merciful, that you minister to them this morning. Bless them. Pray for Tom as he's sharing in Topeka this morning. I pray you bless him as he ministers there. Bless their congregation and the whole ordination there this weekend. Lord, I pray you be with them, be with Dan. I just pray your blessing on that situation. Pray for Lynn this morning. I pray, Lord, that you would take him and use him. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to us through him. I pray, Lord, that we would have thankful hearts. Thank you for all you've done, all you've given us. I just pray your blessing on the service here this morning. We thank you, and we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. I want to greet you this morning again in the precious name of Jesus. I've been blessed this morning by hearing the thanks in the congregation this morning. The praise that's coming from your lips for things that happened throughout this week or the last while. As I listened, I thought, well, maybe we don't need the message I'm going to share this share this morning after all. I'd like to talk this morning about Thanksgiving, that it's more than a holiday. We have this once a year, we celebrate a day we call Thanksgiving. And it's a good thing. It's not a bad thing, it's a good thing to celebrate Thanksgiving. But my goal this morning is for us to be thinking about Thanksgiving being more than one day a year, but rather it being a thanksgiving throughout the whole year. I'm going to ask you this morning, what do you think about when you think about Thanksgiving? What's the first thing that comes to your mind? Turkey. I'm glad you're honest. We think about turkey. We think about eating. What else comes to your mind? Family? Is that the same I heard elsewhere? Family. I can remember years ago, I must have been probably, I'd say between 5 and 7. I remember sitting inside the window looking outside, and I'm pretty sure it was a Thanksgiving day, and we had this big hill between our barn and the shop, and we loved to go sledding on that hill. And for some reason, I can recall sitting there. But family. Family is important. We celebrate that on Thanksgiving Day. And yes, we do call it a holiday. And that's okay. But I'm hoping this morning that the Thanksgiving that we feel within our heart is not going to stop on Thursday. But it's going to continue. If we want to be really honest this morning, as American people, we have so much. We are so thankful. But yet there's this thing, if I have so much, I'd be just a bit more thankful if I had just a tiny bit more. Speaking for myself here. Thanksgiving. Maybe we're thinking about Thanksgiving, about all the food. Yes, we have all the food in mind. We just about can't wait until it's time to eat. Because we know there's going to be turkey, there's going to be dressing, there's going to be gravy, there's going to be all kinds of good stuff, possibly some ham. I'm hungry right now, okay? So I can talk about food. Maybe we're excited because Thanksgiving afternoon we're going to be able to sit down and we're going to relax while the ladies are cleaning up. Sorry, ladies. Maybe the ladies are excited about Thanksgiving because of family and possibly a nap after all the dishes are done. Maybe it's this whole thing that I just thought I can't wait and Thanksgiving lunch to be over because there's a game I want to watch. Maybe it's exciting for us men because we don't have to work on Thanksgiving Day. Another honest man. And I'm going to ask a question here I want us to think about. This strikes me pretty hard. I love Thanksgiving. I love being with family. In fact, we're leaving this afternoon to go be with family in Texas. I love family. It's different. Now we go home, mom's not there. Things change. But how much more than family am I thankful for my Jesus who died for me? How much more am I thankful for that than I am for family, for getting together, for all the food, for all the fun, all the good stuff that we have? Let's keep that in mind this morning as we go through this message. Nancy Lee DeMoss says this. She says, Thanksgiving really should be thanksgiving, a way of life, morning, noon, and night, continually, forever, giving thanks to the Lord. It should be the first thing that we think about when we get up in the morning. Thank you, God. You're still here. I'm still here with you. How many times do you roll out of bed in the morning and the first thing is I have to go to work? How many times do I roll out of bed and I'm so excited because, God, you gave me another day. Today I can honor you. Today I can glorify you. I debated preaching this morning. I told the ministry team this morning, it's hard to preach this. Because we have those amongst us that are going through some pretty tough times right now. Life isn't always easy. But we can think about the fact that if we're walking with God, then what I'm facing in life, He's going to carry me through. Doesn't mean we won't have heartaches. As a matter of fact, Scripture teaches that there's going to be some very, very difficult times for Christians. But the fact of the matter is, He's there to carry us through. Brothers and sisters, we're here to help each other. This actually isn't part of my text this morning, but I was just thinking, Don, you went with Sam and Frida. You trusted God in that. In a sense, you got next to them, you got down below them, and you lifted them. And they were thankful you could do that. That's us, brothers and sisters. That's what we are to do today. We are to be here helping each other. If we see a struggle, if we see a trial, we are to be there to get down next to them and help them. Help them make it through because God helped us. We have so much to be thankful for. To give thanks is the will of God. A couple of verses in 1 Thessalonians 5, and you do not have to turn there. I'm going to read these really quick and we'll keep moving. There's a verse that talks about rejoice evermore. A couple of tiny verses here, and there's another verse packed in between here. Rejoice evermore. We're very familiar with this. Pray without ceasing. As we rejoice, we pray. There's a continual thing that, there's a thing that's happening between God and us. There's a communication that's going on. And then it says in the next verse, it says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything give thanks. That's a difficult verse. What about the struggles I'm facing? How do I give thanks? And I'm not going to give you a whole lot of answers this morning. I want us to think about this. Ephesians 5 verse 20 says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. All things again, it says. Colossians 3:17. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. So it's God's will that we are thankful. And I want to encourage us this morning as we go through these difficult times, maybe our good times, always seek the Father. Whether the times are good, whether the times are bad, always seek the Father. Never let go of that. He is waiting to hear from. There's a verse that comes to mind that talks in, I'm not sure which gospel this is, but it talks about when we call that He's going to answer. Actually, Jeremiah talks about that. He's going to show us things that we didn't know about. Show us great things. Strength for our walk. Turn your Bibles to James chapter 1, verse 17. Just for a minute, we'll look at this. James 1, verse 17. This verse tells us that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. What we receive is from the Father. He's talking about every good gift, every perfect gift. But what I want to notice is that phrase in there that says, with whom is no variableness. Think about the sun. The sun comes up in the morning. We can bank on it. We may not see it, but the sun is still there. There's no variableness there. The sun comes up. It's going to go across. If there's no clouds, we're going to see it. If there's clouds, we're not going to see it. But we know it's still there. We believe it. It's very predictable. Isn't this how our God is? He is very predictable. You know, we don't understand everything. He works in ways that we don't always get. But He's very predictable in the fact that He's constant. He's always there. He's unchangeable. What a blessing that is to think about it, that He is unchangeable. I can change. Things change. But I can always come back to Him and He has not changed. He's always there standing behind what He said. His love for us is so great. We know He's doing what's best. And His gift to us in troublesome times is that He is always, always with us. Think about Moses for a minute. As Moses was getting older, this is in Deuteronomy, we won't turn there, but as Moses was getting older, God told him, Moses, you're not going to get to go over Jordan. You're not going to get to enter the promised land because of things that happened. Moses was 120 years old at this time. Then God told Moses that Joshua is going to go in. Moses had served faithfully. There were some issues that happened. But it says in Deuteronomy 31, it says, and Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of a good courage. For thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, He it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. Remember this, people. Remember this morning. God goes with us. He will go with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be thou dismayed. I've shared that so many times here already, that God is always there. He's never turning His back on us. He's never going to leave. He's always there. Call on Him. Call on Him and allow Him to work in your life. Yes, the burdens get heavy. The struggles and the trials that we face are heavy. But it says in 1 Peter 5:7, to cast your care on Him. I remember when I struggled through with this verse. I was going through a difficult time in my personal walk. And I was reminded of this verse, to cast everything on Him. And what I was going through was heavy. And I would come to God and I would tell Him, this is yours, I'm going to give this to you. And you know what I would do? I would give it to Him and I'd pick it right back up. The verse doesn't work. That's my thinking. But it took some time until I finally got to the place where I realized, yes, He is there. He is there. And when I took it to Him and I allowed Him to take it and carry it for me, I could feel the load being lifted. He took my burden from me because He cared for me. I want to look this morning at three characteristics of a thankful heart. And by the way, I was reading something this morning about health. We all want to be healthy, don't we? There's none of us in here that's purposely trying to be sick. We're trying to be healthy. That's what we like. I'm not going to name the statistics this morning, but somebody that is very, very thankful finds that there's health issues that increase. Friendships become different. Do you like being around somebody that's always grumpy and unthankful? Logan, if you become grumpy and unthankful, I'm staying away from you. But if he's thankful, if I can sense in him that he's a man that is positive, those are the kind of people that I want to associate with. Somebody that's positive, somebody that lives with thanksgiving in their heart. It changes our friendships. It changes our thinking. They did some tests. And they did some brain scans on people who were thankful that were willing to give. People that were willing to take what God blessed them with and to share with others. They did a test. I think it lasted for 21 days. And then they did some more brain scans. And they found out, as time went on for 6 months, there was something that happened in their brain when they gave. And here's how they explained it. They explained it as we have some muscles within us. That's how they explained it. It's not a literal muscle, but they wanted us to think about it that way. That we have a muscle within us that we can exercise that actually gets stronger. The more we are thankful, the more we want to be thankful. A challenge for all of us. Point number one that I want to look at. Is a thankful heart is not one given to criticism. And I want us to understand this morning, I'm talking about negative criticism. Because there is this thing called positive criticism. I've got this verse listed here in Ephesians 4. It says, look, no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Sorry, I thought I had that on there, but I guess I don't. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. The last part is what I really want to think about, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. How is my speech? How am I coming across to those that I associate with? Am I coming across as a thankful person or as a negative person? Let me throw this out. If I'm at work, and I'm rubbing shoulders with those around me, and I'm negative, are they going to come to me for advice about salvation, about Christian things, about spiritual things? They're going to come to me when they see that I have a positive attitude, and they can see the reason why my attitude is positive. That's when they're going to come to me. But if I have a negative attitude, I'm not going to do any good as far as sharing Christ's love with them. That's enough for me to be positive. That's my goal. Turning your Bibles to 3 John. We've been looking at some of this on Wednesday night. 3 John 1, only one chapter there, but verse 9. We're going to look at a man this morning for a bit. His name was Diotrephes. John here was writing to Gaius, and he was blessing Gaius and telling Gaius, you know what, we've been having ministers come through your area, apostles, they've been coming through your area, and you've accepted them, you've blessed them, you've helped them. And that was good. But then he said in verse 9, he says, I wrote to the church about this, about how you've blessed those. And he says, but Diotrephes, who loves to be the leader, refuses to have anything to do with us. When I come, I will report some of the things he's doing and the evil accusations he's making against us. Not only does he refuse to welcome the traveling teachers, he also tells others not to help them. And when they do help, he puts them out of the church. Diotrephes was a man with a critical spirit. I'm going to put Dana on the spot here this morning. Dana is our senior pastor here. He's our bishop here. And I have a lot of respect for Dana. But let's imagine for a minute, Dana was our leader here. And Dana loved to be first. Actually, I couldn't even stand here and preach. Because Dana would say, that's mine. That's how Diotrephes was. Diotrephes did not want anybody else to take his spot. I want to be first. A critical spirit. Something else we see about him. He refused to welcome the apostles into the church. So we have Dana standing out front here. And we have visiting preachers coming in. Tonight, Virgil's coming here. Dana stands out front. Virgil comes in. Dana goes up and he questions him a lot. And finally, he says, out. It's mine. You about tired of this yet, Dana? That's who Diotrephes was. He had a critical spirit. Something else he was. He maliciously spread gossip about men of God. So Dana's going around throughout the week. He's calling, he's texting different people. And he's telling them, did you hear about him? Do you know about him? That's who Diotrephes was. He withheld hospitality from others. He required others to follow his poor example. And he excommunicated anybody that didn't follow him. Anybody that didn't do like he did. He liked the color blue. Everybody else is going to like the color blue or they're out. Diotrephes had a critical spirit. He was one that wanted to be served and not serve. And Dana, I want to thank you for your attitude of servanthood. It shines through you. God bless you for that. You are not Diotrephes. 1 Peter 4:8 says this. It says, most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins. Diotrephes had a critical spirit, and it's good for us to love and show love to those around us. Even though that happens, that is going to help change. Hebrews 13, there's a couple of verses I'll read through real quick. Hebrews 13, verse 15 says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Honoring God, not having a critical spirit, but loving and honoring. Communicating to those that are in need. Characteristic number two that I like to look at, that is, a thankful heart is one filled with peace. Normally when we see somebody that is thankful, somebody that thankfulness just shines out of them, they're peaceful people. Ephesians 4, you don't have to turn to this, but Ephesians 4 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The New Living says it this way, in verse 7, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard our hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Is the enemy real today? Absolutely. I've been reading a book about the enemy. The enemy is very real today. We can't see him out here. We don't see the fights that are being fought spiritually, but he's there. But the fight is not ours. We are under a power that is so much greater than the power of Satan. It's good for us to rest in that, to think about it. Be careful for nothing and don't worry about things. The key to thankfulness is trust. The key to thankfulness and trust is prayer. And peace is a result of fervent prayer. Even in the midst of trials and the difficulties of life, Jesus is in control. So I asked this morning, am I struggling with the cares of life? Pray. Am I struggling with difficult relationships? Pray. Am I struggling with financial setbacks? Pray. Am I struggling with important decisions that need to be made and I'm not sure what direction to go? Pray. Allow God to minister to your heart and give you direction. And allow His peace to come into you. True thanksgiving begins on your knees. And then remember to thank Him for all He's doing and all He has done. Romans 8:31 says, "What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" We can continue to read there. There's so much good there. But think about the promise that if He's ahead of us, if He's for of us, if He's before us, there's a couple of different ways to look at that. If God's before us, if He's leading us, what's my fears? Or if He's for us, what are my fears? Take them to Him and allow Him to be my guide, my strength. Psalm 119:165 says, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." A peace, according to 1 Corinthians 13, that is not easily provoked. The third point I'd like to look at this morning, the third characteristic of a thankful heart, is one that sings the praises of God. Allow your mind to go for a minute to David. And while you're doing that, you can turn to 1 Chronicles 16. We're going to read a bit out of 1 Chronicles 16, verse 1. But think about David. David was so excited about having a place for the Ark of the Tabernacle to be in. He wanted so bad for a place to be where he can have it back at Jerusalem again. And finally, he puts up a tent, and he puts it within this tent. And it was so exciting to him that he was dancing outside. If you're in 1 Chronicles 16, maybe it'd be good if I turn there too. This was right after they were coming back and he was dancing. Chapter 16, verse 1. And if you want to follow along, I'm going to read quite a bit here. But a thankful heart is a heart that sings praises unto God. And this is David. And he's offering praise to God. It's called a song. I don't know if this was sang or if he quoted it to somebody or what he did. But as I was going through this, it just struck me for the fact that David was a man just like we are. Us guys. He was a human like all of us are. He faced difficulties in life way more than what we probably do. But he had a song of thanks that he shared to God. Verse 1 says, "So they brought the ark and set it in the midst of the tent that David had pitched for, and they offered burnt sacrifices and peace offerings before God." And then we're going to drop down to verse 8. Now, I'd like to read through all of verse, not quite all of the chapter here, but quite a bit of chapter 16 of 1 Chronicles. And I want us to think about David, again, that he was also a human being. He faced a lot of difficulties, but there was a victory here. Am I doing what David did as he noticed, as he saw the victory that was won? 1 Chronicles 16, verse 8. "Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the people, sing unto Him, sing psalms unto Him, talk ye of all His wondrous works, glory ye in His name, in His holy name, let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in His strength, seek His face continually, remember His marvelous works that He hath done, His wonders and the judgments of His mouth. O ye seed of Israel, His servant, ye children of Jacob, His chosen ones, He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Be ye mindful always of His covenant, the word which He commanded to 1,000 generations, even of the covenant which He made with Abraham, and of His oath unto Isaac, and hath confirmed the same to Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, Unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance. But when you were few, when you were but few, even a few, and strangers in it, and when they went from nation, I'm sorry, I'm going to read that again. When ye were but few, even a few, and strangers in it, and when they went from nation to nation, and from one kingdom to another, he suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sakes, saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Show forth from day to day his salvation. I have to think about this verse as I'm reading through here. What am I doing from day to day? Am I showing his salvation? Am I walking in a way that people are seeing? Am I thankful that they can see that there is a difference in my life? Verse 24, declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among all nations. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Glory and honor are in his presence. Strength and gladness are in his place. Give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Calvary Chapel, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Honor him. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him, all the earth. The world also shall be stable, that it be not moved. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice. And let men say among the nations, the Lord reigneth. Let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof. Let the fields rejoice, and all that is therein. Then shall the trees of the wood sing out at the presence of the Lord, because he cometh to judge the earth. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And say ye, save us, O God of our salvation, and gather us together, and deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks to thy holy name, and glory in thy praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel forever and ever. And all the people said, amen, and praise the Lord. If I have a thankful heart, there's going to be praise that comes from within me. If you hear that Lynn has a thankful heart and I'm walking around in a negative attitude, you're going to question, aren't you? And you should. But if I have a thankful heart, if I'm living with thankfulness, there's going to be a song of praise that comes from within me. I'd like to close with this verse this morning. And I hope this is the testimony of all of us here this morning. The Lord is my strength and my song. And he has become my salvation. He is my God. And I will prepare for him an habitation. My Father's God. And I will exalt him. That's my desire this morning. And I pray that it's your desire this morning. That as we go through life, that life is not about us, but it's about God. And it's about how he is blessing us. I think the Father rejoices when we come to him on our knees and we come in thanksgiving. I think his ears perk up and he listens, because he is the one that deserves our praise. He's the one that deserves our thanksgiving. So this morning, yes, I do want to wish you a happy Thanksgiving, but I also pray that we would have a happy thanks living. Make this a daily part of our lives. Would you stand with me this morning? I'm going to challenge you this morning as we pray. Allow God to search your heart. Have you been living with a thankful attitude? Has it been a negative attitude? You have the opportunity to allow God to change that. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you this morning. Most of all, Lord, we thank you for going to the cross, shedding your precious blood, Lord, for our redemption. Lord, we didn't deserve that. We don't deserve good. But you love us so dearly. God, we just want to praise you this morning. We want to thank you for calling us to be your children. We want to thank you, Lord, for the peace and the joy that we can have. Thank you for forgiveness. And thank you, Lord, for the promise that you are coming back. That you have a home prepared for us. Oh God, we bless you. Lord, it reminds us also that there's a home for those that are not walking with you. Father, search our hearts. Help us to know where we are with you. And Father, help us to respond in a way that would please you, to allow you, Lord, to live within us and to guide us and lead us and to be your children. Would you dismiss us now with your blessing? We want to honor and glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.